Cool.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about leveling up, we talk about what it actually costs. Because the truth is, you can have everything on paper, everything, the body, the money, the relationships, and still feel empty and still feel lost and still feel like none of it matters. And some people hit that moment and I watch them stay there. But some people decide that that's not the ending of their story. And God does not pull you out of darkness for nothing. He gives you a second shot. But what you do with it, you guys, that's on you. So if you've ever felt like you had everything but still were not okay, this conversation is going to smack you in the face. Today's guest is Kevin Palmieri. I'm super excited to have him on the show. Okay. I got to spend a whole day with him Saturday learning from, he has a lot. He has a lot for you guys. And I don't know how we're going to pack it into a 30-minute show, but, literally from rock bottom to building a global top podcast and business. Kevin, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. I know you're a busy man. So I launch everybody from the same place. Like, give us the elevator pitch. Who are you? What do? What makes you special, darling?
Number one, thank you for having me. I did
Yeah.
not have the pleasure of jamming in your group for the event, but I've heard wonderful things about you, and I'm very gracious. I appreciate you. Elevator pitch. I was somebody who was raised by my mom and my grandmother, didn't know my dad, did not expect to be any level of successful, thought I was just going to kind of slide through life and end up wherever I ended up. Found myself going through some suicidal ideation, ended up finding podcasting, going all in, and now I get to quite literally live my dreams every day. But to your point, dreams still have nightmares, so it's not all easy going. And then I guess I'm technically the founder, CSO, and host of Next Level University.
I'm locked in with you guys. Like, I've done some book clubs and stuff. I think the work you guys are doing is amazing.
Thank you.
But I'm gonna jump back. I want to jump back to this moment because, first of all, everyone tries to act like suicide is like this taboo thing. We can't talk about it. I'm gonna be honest. I know a lot of people that have been in that moment. I've been in that moment, and it's not something we should be quiet about. I think there should be the conversations because it's real thoughts that real people are having. And today, more than ever, people are choosing that, and it's horrific. So take us back, like take us to that moment. What is really going on? You're sitting on the edge of the bed. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, I was somebody who was way more quote unquote, and this is for in quotes for people just listening,
Yeah.
successful than I ever thought I was going to be. I had a six-figure job. I had just won a bodybuilding show. My ex-girlfriend was a model. Like it seemed like I had all the external trappings of success. But I internally felt trapped. I had extremely low self-belief. I had extremely low self-worth. I felt like I got lucky to get in most of the positions I was in. And very honestly, I felt like I was trading in so much of my life to be successful, quote unquote. And I didn't know if there was any other way out. So I was traveling for work one week. I woke up at 5:45. I slid to the edge of the bed. I was lacing up my work boots. And the best way to explain it is there was 10 televisions on in my head at the same time that morning.
Yeah.
One is saying you're stuck here forever. Your reputation is now that you're successful. If you lose that reputation, you lose everything. You got lucky to be here. If you ever left this job, what would your friends think? You're the most successful person in your friend group. What would your family think? You're the most successful person in your family ever. And then most importantly, what are you going to do with your life if you did leave this job? You're going to go be a podcaster? There's no way. So it was in that moment of doubt and lack of self-belief and lack of self-worth that I thought to myself, if I just took my life, I would take all my problems with me. And the beautiful thing about the story, how it comes full circle, is Alan is the guy I texted. I texted Alan and asked him for advice and left my job 3 months later, and then we partnered up. But yeah, simplest thing, I was hopeless. I felt hopeless. I felt helpless. I felt stuck. I felt trapped. And I think I did one of the best things I could do is reach out to somebody who I thought could help.
Yeah, I think that's incredible, and I mean, it's amazing that that was your go-to, and he was that supportive friend for sure.
Very
And I
lucky.
think that advice is great for everybody. There is one person that you can always reach out to. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is that one person, and I think one more day, right? Like, one more day, give it one more day, reach out to this person, and every day, if you could just wake up in one more day, take that next step. Just that next little tiny step, you know,
Little.
not the big scary mountain, okay? But like that little tiny step, I think that's huge. But this is something, unfortunately, Kevin, I see this so much, especially in people that I work with that are just like, they're killing it on paper. They're killing it on paper. And you can see these people that are just walking around with just empty eyes. Like, why do you think people are staying so stuck in that space?
I think it's lack of self-awareness. I think so many of us don't actually understand what we want. We don't understand what we value, and we are convincing ourselves that this is the way it's supposed to be. Maybe we were brought up that way. Maybe that's the way we were raised. Maybe that's what we modeled. But yeah, self-awareness, the understanding that you most likely are meant to do something way more aligned than what you're doing if you don't feel aligned in what you're doing. That's one. Two, it is possible for you in some way, shape, or form. It might suck. It's probably going to be harder than you think, but it will probably be more worth it than you thought in the first place. I think those are kind of two. And then I think also circumstance. I don't ever want to be the guy that just like motivates you to go do reckless things because I don't think that's sustainable. If you're 35 and you have three kids and you have a mortgage and you have three car payments, it's really hard to start over. Not saying you shouldn't try or it won't be worth it, but I do think it gets to the point where circumstances unfortunately bury us into a corner and we don't think we can get
Get
out. So I
out.
think it's a mix. I think it's a mix of
Yeah.
many different things. Yeah.
No, I totally see that. And I feel like it's nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible, but this show's never going to sell you on the bullshit dream of like just do it, you know.
Yeah.
Never going to do that. It takes a lot of grit, and I think it takes a very special person to move that needle, but it's very possible. Anybody could do it. That's the thing, but not everybody is. What do you think people are really, I feel like we're going to align a lot on this. What do you think people are really getting wrong about success and happiness?
Happiness is not real. I think that's probably the simplest thing is happiness is results based. So if I eat ice cream, I will be happy, quote unquote. I mean, happiness is dopamine for most people. I don't think it's a long sustaining thing. So yeah, I think for most people, the goal is off. I think fulfillment, purpose, mission, adding value, whatever, like whatever the label is. Something that forces you to grow a little bit every day. You never actually accomplish the goal, but you always get a little bit closer and you feel very good doing it. That's part one. And then I think part two is a lot of us think that when we get to this mythical land of quote unquote enough, we will feel enough. And I think that is a misnomer for so many people. So if you right now you're broke, money will fix your money problems. It's not going to fix your relationship problems. It's not going to fix your self-belief. It's not going to fix your self-worth. So the misconception that external results are going to fix internal voids, I think that is a big one. And I definitely fell deep into that hole.
I think it's part of the human experience is that we go through this period where we look for that fulfillment in everything but ourselves. We look for happiness. We have expectations of other people and all these things. And I mean, my rock bottom, and we're going to get to this because I, you know, you say yours has a basement. So I want to talk about what that means. But my rock bottom came after my first dream came true. I became a published author, and then my whole world crashed. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. This is. It was the hardest moment for me because I had that expectation of like, I'm going to publish this book and everything in my life changes overnight. You know, no matter what everybody told me, publishers, you know, I'm like, you guys, you don't know me. Trust me, you know. And then, like, you know, I want to eat a bullet. Like, it was the worst. Like, I can't even remember. I'm sure there's times I've been that low, but it's, we put everything outside of ourselves. And I think that's part of the human experience and that awakening, that awareness. And I want to get into that too, but you said rock
Please.
bottom had a basement. What does that actually mean for you? And what was the first real shift you made after you text Alan?
Yeah, so it's interesting because we already talked about the basement moment. That was the basement. But what led up to the basement was I got my heart broken and I was doing a bodybuilding show. So internally, I was just struggling. For anybody who's ever done any like really extreme dieting, you know it messes with your hormones. It's just not good.
All of it,
It's brutal. But the thing that really jumped off the page was this person who I loved, I lived with, I thought we had a future together. She sat me down and said, "Hey, I'm leaving. You're not the man that I thought you were. You've kind of changed since the beginning of the relationship." It's like, true, all true. And I was going to leave sooner, but I was afraid if I did, you might kill yourself.
Oh, shit.
And it was not in a mean way. This was like a, whoa, how did we get here?
Yeah.
That for me, there was like, what is that about? Like, what? How did I get to this point where I am so unaware that that would even be a fear of somebody else?
Yeah.
So she left. My bills doubled. I was struggling financially. I developed an eating disorder after my bodybuilding show. That was the beginning.
Yeah.
That was the beginning. That was my initial rock bottom. Now, the problem with that is I convinced myself that money was going to solve all of my problems.
Yeah.
Solved my money problems, but it didn't solve the rest. So I started grinding at work. The next year, I spent 10 months living on the road because we had a lot of contracts in other states.
Yeah.
Made the most money I had ever made. But it highlighted, it put a spotlight on all those insecurities that I didn't work on. So yeah, it was a rough couple of years for sure. This is always a hard question to answer because after I texted Alan, I didn't really do anything different.
Yeah.
I had a new perception that the job I was at was not going to be the job I was at forever. That was one. We started hanging out more, which was great. That was two. But I think it created excitement that like, oh, this job thing that I'm doing, there probably is going to be an end date on this. I never thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And now doing this podcast thing seems way more realistic than it did.
Yeah.
So I think that conversation with Alan, it went from me just thinking everything was doom and gloom to seeing some light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And to your point, just saying, all right, one more day. That it gave me that for sure.
I think that's huge. Like the minute you kind of release yourself from the shackles, because we keep ourselves in a prison in our mind. And if you give yourself that perspective of like, you're not stuck here forever. Like there's hope, right?
Yeah.
We need hope. I feel like that it is a natural thing to want to keep moving. I think that's the progression of like, why I think, you know, do we call it self-improvement? Why I think, you know, self-improvement is so important. Because we always will have a finish line to chase, you know, and what we do doesn't have to be everything forever, you know? And I think how many people burn down a business and never try again? How many people do that? It's
a lot.
It blows my mind. And how many people, if you look at the proof and truth, I've burned shit down more than I've tried to start probably. Right. But I wake up and I'm like, okay, well, I can't just do nothing.
Yeah.
You can't just do nothing. You've had that experience, you know, reinventing yourself. You went all in on self-improvement. What does that look like on a day to day?
It's different today because the business has grown a lot and I'm just putting out fires constantly. Like that is my position. That is my role at NLU. I am the firefighter. I put out fires all the time. Yeah. In an ideal world though, I get up in the morning. I listen to a book while I get ready for the gym. I go to the gym. I come back. I do a little bit of meditation.
Yeah.
And then I'm in the office essentially from 8 to 6 every day. And then 6 to 9, 9:30 is family time with my wife. But like, I'm trying to always find lessons in everything.
Yes.
Like there are personal development, self-improvement, growth, whatever label you want to use, lessons in everything that we do. And it's a matter of recognizing those and then recognizing our own patterns and then trying to improve those patterns. But in the beginning, I mean, I was listening to a book and I was watching TED Talks and I was journaling and I was meditating and I had mentors and I had coaches and I was going to events and I was doing a ton of self-improvement in the beginning.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to start doing something.
Right.
Like we all know somebody that reads the books and has the coaches and has the mentors, but they don't. Yeah, but they don't implement. So I am way more now of an operator and implementer. And then I tend to go try to grab the lessons I need when I get stuck. I think that's probably the best way to put it for me.
Yeah. Well, I think too, having this incredible perspective, like this is kind of my mindset every day. I get to have like 5 or 6 interviews every single day where I get to meet incredible people like yourself. And every time I walk in with that perspective of like, what am I going to learn today? If you guys could just wake up and know that expect you're going to learn something today. There, I've not walked away from a conversation yet where it hasn't stretched or expanded me. So I think that perspective of like, what can I learn? I don't have to show up at classes. I'm having the real world experience, right? I don't have to keep reading the books, like I'm having conversations. So I think just, putting yourself in this, in being open to that. Is there something that you had to unlearn about yourself?
Oh man, so many things. For a long time, I struggled with the fact that I was unlovable and unwanted because my dad left. So I had to unlearn that that really had nothing to do with, I was a baby. So I had no, it's not like I had a personality. It's not like I had any choice in the matter. That was a piece for sure. And then to your point, you and I kind of talked about this before. I'm still unlearning this and trying to make sure I don't unlearn all of it because I think there is an importance to it. But suffering is a requirement at times, but you shouldn't make that your entire story. Because if you do, I mean, that is a very, very dangerous character to play in the story. So I'm still unlearning that because we do a lot of reckless shit and we work a boatload. There's a lot going on, but we're trying to. We have the work hard. We got that. And we're always going to do it better, but we got that. I want to make sure we're working smart too, and that's kind of a new season that we're in.
No, that totally makes sense. And I feel like, especially when it comes to suffering, Kevin, I mean, the truth is everything's a sacrifice and everything's a price. And the suffering that I think that a lot of people want a gold star for is when they become that victim mentality of their suffering. Their suffering is all the excuses of why they can't do what you guys are doing right now. Their suffering is like why they can't start their own show. Their suffering is why they can't start a business, why they're not successful. When really it's like the same thing of, you talk about the consistency. That's super unsexy, right? It's super unsexy, but like that consistency of, going to the gym every day, it's the same thing of like our bodies as we get older, like you're going to be in pain no matter what. So either you earn it in the gym for suffering, right? My husband wakes up, his back hurts, and it's not from the gym. I wake up and I'm like, I can't sit on the toilet today. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're both suffering, but it's a very different experience of suffering. I feel like there's always a price, and no matter what, you guys are going to suffer. But when you become a victim and you want, like, nobody's buying your bullshit anymore. Like the same excuses you're using to stay stuck are the excuses that people like Kevin and Alan and Amy and Brandon are using to move the needle and help someone else get their shit together. But consistency, man, why is that a thing that people struggle with so much?
It sucks.
It
It
does.
sucks doing, I mean, it sucks doing the same thing every day. It does. I'm not gonna lie to you and say it's fun and it's sexy. It feels like Groundhog Day every
It
day. I
does.
essentially do the same thing. So yeah, that's one piece. As a human, it's way easier not to be consistent. It's just a lot of us value fun, unique experiences and variety. It's hard to pair that with consistency to a degree. Maybe the biggest piece that I'm starting to understand more than ever, consistency when you don't think the reward will be worth it is illogical. Why would you show up and dig a hole every single day if you don't think the hole is going to lead to something nice? That I think that most people are as consistent as their level of self-belief because why would you pour more into something if you don't think you're going to get anything out of it?
That is powerful.
That's something I'm seeing a lot because I wasn't all, I mean, I've always been pretty consistent in the gym. But if I didn't have Alan and the accountability of him and the accountability of our community and now the identity of consistent, I'm sure I would have missed episodes. I wouldn't be as consistent as I am. So it's not just about, okay, I want to be consistent. I'm going to be more consistent. Then there's the whole, I think there's two D's when it comes to consistency, discipline and design. Discipline is, I don't want to do it, but I know I should do it because I want to get the result. Awesome. Grit, willpower. Design is, my studio has its light set up, it has the camera set up. All I have to do is hit a button. Awesome. My running shoes are by the door. My pre-workout is made. Design makes discipline easier. Discipline catches you when design fails. But both of those take some level of prep work, right? So that's a piece of it too.
No, I love that. And I will say on the days that, my shoes aren't in front of the treadmill, that I stall a hell of a lot longer. It's
Course.
the dumbest thing because I'm like, I know they're just in the other room,
Yeah.
but mentally I'm like, that's a lot of work. I'm gonna
Yeah.
go ahead and go
Of
move on
course.
to something else.
Of course. Of
So I
course.
do think it's important to prep. And I mean, that life is boring. People ask me, like, what's going on? I'm like, my life is so boring. You guys, I literally eat the same food every single day lately, right? Like I'm in a high protein calorie deficit because I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? I'm tired of being a fat fuck. I can't motivate my message if show up 100% if I'm a food addict. It's just not going to happen. So I do the unsexy thing, and it is so boring. It's
Yeah.
so boring, but I have learned it's a comfort. I hate now, like, my family loves to go out to eat. I hate it. I haven't We were going out to eat on Sunday, and I just am like, I don't like it. I don't enjoy the food. I'm not comfortable anymore. Like, I like my ways, right? And it feels good to me. It's serving me because I see that purpose. I never You tell me a year ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now, and I'd be like, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. What is life without all the food and stuff? I'm in a season. I don't think it would be like this forever, but it's that discipline. It's paying off, and that do the unsexy thing. That's all I'm saying. I feel like that's what separates people from, the people who change their life from people who just talk about it. What do you think is the biggest thing that you see in people, that common thread that's separating them? The people that are just talking about doing it and the people that are actually crushing it.
Very similar. I think people don't prioritize success as much as they talk about it. There's a percentage. Like maybe right now your life is 50% designed for success, 50% designed for pleasure. You're not going to have that much success, understandably, right? Like understandably. If it's 80-20 pleasure success, I can't bet on you. Unfortunately, I can't. If it's and here's the interesting thing. If it's 99% success and 1% pleasure, I also don't know if I can bet on you because that might not be sustainable for you. I think it is the prioritization. As we get deeper and deeper into this game, I have to prioritize success more than I ever have. Not less. I don't hit a button and then everything happens and I go golfing. Like I golf on the weekends occasionally, but not as much as I like to. But the priority, the first thing I do in the morning is usually check my messages. The last thing I do before I log off is check my messages. My priority is to make sure that the things that need to get handled so I can do the same thing tomorrow. So yeah, I think when things pop up, when you don't feel like it, when there's cookouts and whatever it is, people put their success on the back burner and you got to juggle and balance what you want out of life. But success, it's always waiting. Like that box is always waiting to get checked. You got to check it.
I love that. Check the boxes, you
Check the
guys.
box.
Confidence. Can I talk about that? Because
Of
I think
course.
people just don't understand. That's a thing where people are like, oh, you're so confident, Brandon. Yeah, but no. I wasn't born with it. Okay. So how do you build confidence when you don't feel confident?
You do something so embarrassingly small that you'd be afraid to tell people about it. It goes hopefully better than you expect. If it doesn't, the fall is not great enough where you're going to die from it. And then you get up and you do the same thing the next day. I don't know why certain things are designed the way they are designed, but like it is a necessity to go through the fear in order to get over the fear for whatever reason. If I'm at all confident at this, I've just done it 4,000 times. That's it. I was not confident in the beginning, to your point. There are certain things that I'm not confident at because I've never done them before and I don't want to go in arrogant and get humbled ridiculously, right? So, yeah. Set a very small goal. Go prove to yourself that you can accomplish it. Give yourself the reward of the dopamine of, I said I was going to do it. I did it.
Did
Now
it.
I get to feel good about it. And then rinse and repeat that cycle for the rest of your life. And you most likely will build confidence.
Ah, Kevin, so I can't just do it one time and I'm gonna feel great.
You'll feel great for a
What?
minute. You'll feel great for a minute, but the next day is probably all going to go away, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, I'm 3 years in podcasting, you guys, and I wear a peace patch because I get nervous. Okay. So I'm never gonna pretend that, it is what it is, especially when I have a powerhouse like Kevin. Come on, okay. I've had the trio today. You gotta kind of show up big. I want to talk about that though, this podcast, because I'm gonna be honest. You guys were in my head last night. Okay. I had a hell of a day yesterday. If it, you know, it was just one of those days, and I know things happen for a reason, but like everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. My schedule was way behind. It was crazy. Then girls going to soft, but like I'm kind of a single parent during the week when my husband's at work, everything's on me. So I was feeling it, man. And I had two shows to record yesterday. And I come home, I'm making dinner for my kids at 9 o'clock. That's my bedtime, y'all. Okay. I'm making dinner for them and I'm like, man, two shows, Brandon. Two shows. You gotta do it. You gotta do it. I had some, you know, scheduled posts to do. I'm like, I'm done. I can't do it. And who's gonna call me tomorrow? Because it's just my podcast, right? It's just my show. Like who no one's gonna be like, Brandon, you didn't show up to work last night. But at the same time, like, you know, I had to rebrand a show. I had a co-host leave. And I asked people to show up for me last week. And so I asked them to show up for me, and who am I if I don't show up for them when I said I was going to show up for them? So you guys were in my head last night because
Nice.
I was like, do it. Just damn do it. What, you know, what would they say? What would they do? Y'all, I recorded until midnight last night.
Nice.
Yeah, I got that shit done. And I just want to say, like, having a podcast, it's I guess accountability is part of it. When you don't have the accountability, it's easy to just kind of slack off. And you have built a massive podcast. Like you guys are my podcast goals, okay? So why don't you speak to people about the shit it really takes behind the scenes to do
Oh
this?
man. Yeah, the other day, so we have a client. I am 99% virtual.
Okay.
Right. Almost everything I do is from this chair with
Yeah.
very, like, there's a few things I do outside of this, but it's mostly this. We have a client, one of our bigger clients lives like 45 minutes away. So I go see him in person once a week. I get up at 4 o'clock. I go to the gym. I drive an hour. I work for 3 or 4 hours. I spend all day with him. I drive an hour home. I have a 1 hour coaching call. I eat dinner. And then Alan and I have to record two episodes. And he can't record until 9 p.m. So that day was a 4 a.m. until 10 p.m., 18 hour, whatever, however many hours that is.
Yeah.
And we got it all done. That is not uncommon. That is not at all uncommon. It's not uncommon for a client to text me at 7 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, can you jump on a call quick? That's not uncommon. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the best examples is we had a death in the family a couple of years ago. And I literally had to make sure I was able to reschedule whatever I was supposed to do for that night so I could be with my family,
Yeah.
then come back, leave before everybody else to get home in time to actually do the recordings, right? So there, I mean, it's way more than most people would guess. And this is what I would say to everybody, and I would say it to you too, Brandon. You can't be doing that all the time.
Right.
Because I clapped when you said the midnight thing. I'm not
Yeah.
saying that should be. That
Oh, it
shouldn't be an
couldn't be
average
my
day,
standard. Yeah.
right? And strong freaking work for getting it
Yeah.
done.
Yeah.
That I'm also very regimented with sleep.
Yes.
I try to get as much sleep as possible. I'm really, you know, I'm always hydrated. Like I always have
Yeah.
water. I
Oh,
eat pretty
cheers. Do we
well.
have the same
Cheers.
glass?
Yes.
Stop
Look at
it.
us
Look at
go.
us. I love that for
Nice.
us.
Nice. So simplest, yeah, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, just like if you're out there and you're a parent, I don't know what that's like. I don't have kids.
Yeah.
It's probably way more than I can even imagine.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And going back to the lesson, it's been one of the biggest slash the biggest priorities that I've had over the last 9 years. It is the
Yeah.
most important thing. My wife is the most important person. Those are the two main focuses for sure.
I love that. And I, you know, for pe you know, give people the permission to do what it takes.
Yes.
Do what it takes. And this was my takeaway last night, and it's what I even told my husband this morning, you know, because he never sees us at night. He gets home at 12:30 at night, and the fact I was barely washing my face when he walked in, he just looked at me like, "Damn. You know, it's been a rough day." But I'm like, you know, I couldn't do this all the time. So the lesson I learned is that, you know, last weekend I slacked off, y'all. I didn't slack off. Saturday was a really great day for me. I invested. I learned a lot, okay? Like I learned a lot Saturday, but it did throw off my week because I usually batch content. And I thought it's going to be a non-negotiable for me now. I have to set this boundary of like doing this recording because I couldn't sustain the midnight hours, you
Course.
know? Can't sustain it. So there's a lesson. in everything, which, sometimes you have to learn it the hard way. And I have massive bags under my eyes today to prove it, because I'm like, wow, how do people function? My sleep score was like a 78, and that's so sad for me because I'm in my era of high sleep score, right? I wake up and I'm like, hell yeah, we did it,
What's your normal sleep? 78's low for you?
78 is low for me. Yeah,
Good for you.
I rock 85 to 95, non-negotiable.
Good for
Like,
you.
yeah.
Nice.
And people don't get it. Like, people don't understand. That's the core of my change. People are like, what are you doing? They see me and they're like, oh, wow, you're kind of losing weight. And I'm like, yeah, it's all backwards now. Imagine if you prioritize your nervous system, if you actually get the sleep you need, if you move your body and you eat right, amazing things happen.
Yeah.
I've chased all the drugs, all the false force your body to do stuff my whole life. Actually doing it right, it's amazing.
It's the
Amazing what
best.
happens. Yeah,
That's
it feels
awesome.
good. It feels
That's
so
awesome.
good. Yeah.
It's I think a lot of people think, like, even when I say it, like, I
Yeah.
get up at X time, disregard that. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think going to sleep early is way more of a flex than getting up early.
Thank you. I
Like,
agree.
always. And sleep score. If you have high sleep scores, amazing. Amazing.
It like changes the trajectory of my day.
Of course.
Seeing this the low score today, I was like, ah, like that really sucks, right? And so I'm like, well, we can't have this mood all day. Like, we're gonna have to flip the script, right? So I do a little extra love in the morning to just like, man, give yourself the grace. You killed that show last night. I killed my
Yeah,
show.
nice.
So totally worth it. But yeah, I mean, and 9 years, I wanna say that. You said, you've built this massive podcast. Like, how many episodes do you guys have?
2,403, I think, as of today.
No big deal, right? No big deal. Goals. But like the fact that it's, you're not out here like I started a podcast a year ago, got like 1 million downloads and everybody loves me. Like, you guys put in some real fucking work for that.
Yes. Yeah,
9 years. Yeah.
every day, every day. And that's the weird thing is, like, I don't even care about the numbers anymore.
Yeah.
It's
No.
not, that ain't it. And
It
again,
is. Yeah.
maybe, I don't know, if I started over again, I'm sure I still would. But
Yeah.
the thing that I'm really learning is, like, it's so important to be you, be your unique you, and take things from people and take lessons and take frameworks and take fundamentals and take success attributes and then bring them into you. Don't become that person. Be you with those attributes. That's something that you'd think I'd have it figured out 2,400 episodes in. I'm learning every single time I pick up the mic, for lack of better phrasing. So that's a really interesting thing, is I've learned so much about myself from this process, maybe more than anything else.
Oh, I love that you just said that, because that podcasting has been my therapy. It's been my growth,
Yeah.
and everybody's gone through it with me. Like, you watch episode one, Brandon, I will never, you couldn't pay me to listen to that shit now. But I leave it there in case anybody ever wants to fact check me on, the disaster that my life has been. Like, you, hey, don't believe me, go listen, and you see the growth, right? I think it's important for people to see that, like,
For sure.
who's Kevin and Alan on day one versus who
Yeah,
you
you
are
don't want to see
now.
that shit. You don't want to
No.
see that. I would
Yeah.
challenge you, though. Go back and
Yeah.
watch it. I challenge you.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally get that. We are coming up on our time now, and I knew we were gonna go over. It's all of you
All good.
guys, right? He kind of joked in the beginning, like, as soon as we have all three of the next level NLU team on the show, we want them all together. And now I'm thinking, man, listen, bitch, I could do all three of them for an hour. This might be fun.
Have to be at least an hour.
Right. What does next level mean to you now? What's First of all, what does it mean to you, and what is your next level? What are you guys building?
It means to me that you are filled with gratitude, but also ambitious. Like, I'm so grateful for everything I have. I am. I'm so grateful. I have so many amazing things, and it's awesome. And I'm very hungry for whatever the next level is. But it's in that order for me. I'm grateful and then ambitious. That's my wiring. That's what next level means to me, is you are so excited about what you have, but you're not done. You're not done. You might be full with what you have, but you're still hungry for the next level. And then I don't, this is always like an impossible question, because we're literally just going to do the same shit
Rinse
tomorrow.
and repeat. Love it.
And we're just, and I don't know. The next level is probably going inward and getting better at setting boundaries. I think that's probably the next level. I think for me, the journey has been work on an internal void, get an external opportunity, have to have the courage to say yes to it. That opportunity reveals a new internal thing, and then rinse and repeat that forever. Yeah. We've had a lot of external success over the last year. Now it's time to go back internal and see what we're missing.
I love that. And I hope you guys are taking notes today on what this takes. Kevin, where can people find you? How can they reach out to you, get resourced with you?
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. The show is Next Level University. We're on all the platforms. We're on YouTube. My handle on Instagram is @neverquitkid. And my email is kevin@nextleveluniverse.com. I will answer any questions you got. I'm just a message away.
I love that. Kevin, this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special.
Nice.
It's not that you hit rock bottom. It's that you took responsibility for what comes next. You didn't stay stuck in the story. You didn't sit around waiting for some magic wand of motivation to fall upon you. You did the fucking work, and you do it over and over and over again. You're doing the most unsexy part of this life, building something incredibly sexy, and you're showing people, this is what's amazing. You're showing people it's not about having the perfect life. It's about becoming someone who can actually handle it. And the gratitude, I mean, everything just radiates from you. And I think that's incredibly powerful. I think what you and your whole team is doing, I think it's incredibly amazing. I thank God that I found you guys truly.
Thank
just because you guys are a new little voice in my head that I didn't even know I needed. So imagine that, right? Now it's like, what would Alan and Kevin do? Do the show.
There you go. There you go.
To you guys listening, you don't need a different life. You need a different level of ownership. God didn't bring you this far to let you stay stuck, right? You're capable of more, but you just have to show up for it. You have to make that discipline a part of your regimen. You have to, you know, do the unsexy thing. You have to get radically honest with yourself. And will you guys please remember your mess is your message? Even the breakdown, even the rock bottom, the version of you that didn't know how to move forward, that was Kevin's launching pad, right? This is where your authority is built. If you guys have had that feeling, that pull to use your voice and to share your story, to build something from what you've had, that's what I do. Okay. Voice Authority, let me help you take your story, your experience, your truth, and turn it into something that impacts people, whether that becomes a podcast, a platform, something bigger. Let's do this. Okay. So if you're ready to stop waiting, please come work with me. If this episode speaks to you, you guys, you know, people that Kevin needs to meet, and he'll never have access to them until you share the show. Okay. It's a very selfless thing to do. It could be like your random act of kindness for the day. Share the show out wherever you can, maybe specifically with someone who needs it, so that they can hear Kevin's story to know that, you know, rock bottom isn't the end of the story. Okay. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, please come tell me why you're special. Kevin, you rock. Thank you so much for taking time out to hang out with me today.
Of course. Thank you for everything. You're the best. I love what Absolutely. You're doing. Your audience is very lucky to have someone like you at the helm. So sending you love, so much love.
Thank you.
You're so